RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. And of course, welcome back to a very special edition of Red Pill News Live. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. Thank you very much for joining us. If you're just arriving, please do me a favor. Consider hitting the like button. It would really help out the channel. Also, it helps out, I guess, visibility on the channel, because the more likes we get, the more likely it is we're going to hit that Rumble leaderboard. We've got a very special show lined up for you today. Obviously, Donald Trump's fake news hush money trial beginning in New York City, and one of our very own, none other than Kick Dreaming. He's a New York resident. He was there earlier today. We've got some clips from outside the courthouse. We've also got a clip of our friend Kick Dreaming on, looks like, RSBN. And I'm also going to drop his channel so you guys can follow him if you want to stay up to date on things happening in New York. Sit back, relax, grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. Just like groceries, gas, and food, our energy bills are expected to keep hitting record highs in the coming months, too. You see, these power bills have gotten so expensive for the average American that a record number, 20 million households, are now behind on their power bills. And some power companies have a shocking $13 million in uncollected bills, because the average American household simply cannot afford the rising costs of electricity in Joe Biden's America. And the greedy power companies, well, they're not showing any signs of lowering costs either. Which is why I have been lowering my energy bills thanks to this amazing little device that I absolutely love. I want to slash my power bills. I want to beat the greedy energy companies. I want to show Joe Biden that he's not going to break me. And I want to keep more money in my pocket every single month. This little gadget that plugs into the wall outlet is designed to stop your home from wasting unnecessary electricity, reducing your home's energy usage, extending the lifespan of appliances, ensuring a consistent and safe flow of electricity to your home, and so much more. Be sure to use my link in the description below to get a 60-day risk-free trial. Also, you're going to get 65% off and free shipping. It's included completely complimentary with every single purchase. There are many other free bonuses, but you got to get in there and get them before they sell out. So go to the link in the description below this video. Don'tWastePower.com. Once again, that's Don'tWastePower.com. It's for my subscribers exclusively. Don'tWastePower.com. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. If you wouldn't mind, if you're new here, please don't come into the stream and drop links for other people's channels or self-promote. If you want to reach out to me personally, you can do so through my website, redpill78news.com. There's a contact form, or you can also email me directly on my Proton, redpill78@proton.me. And if it's something that we think fits with the channel, then maybe we can talk about doing an interview or perhaps a sponsorship. It's up to you. But reach out that way instead of coming into Stream Snipe, because that's what we call it. If you'll notice, I have a slightly larger camera lens on today. It's giving us a little bit more view of the background. You can see I've got my Rumble award. I've also got my talking Donald Trump doll. Also, the what are they called? The Funko Pop, that's from Andre, the Funko Pop of myself. And then over here, I've got an action figure from RoboCop, which is one of the favorite films of mine as a child. I absolutely love RoboCop. Being from Michigan, the fact that it took place in Detroit, and the fact that it's about a dystopian future, well, it gets me going on every single level. So thank you very much, every single one of you, for being here. I really do appreciate it. We do have a lot to discuss today, and I just wanted to first make mention, if you didn't get a chance to see either my first or my second interview with General Flynn. The first one was 2 weeks ago. The second one was just this past Friday. And then I also, right after that interview, premiered a backstage documentary, behind the scenes type thing that I filmed. I also released the documentary on its own on a separate video on the Rumble channel. So if you just want to see that and, you know, you're not interested in watching the General Flynn interview, or perhaps, you know, you want to do them separately, I don't know. Wherever it may be, then I split those up. And I just wanted to comment on how hilarious it is that anytime I talk about General Flynn, and certainly because I had him on the show and then I did that behind the scenes piece, the orchestrated inflow of people who don't follow my channel and whose names I've never seen before suddenly show up and say things like, "Oh, no, not Zach. Oh, I thought you were one of the good ones." Or they'll show up and just say, "I thought General Flynn was supposed to be a good guy. Guess not." It's all part of an orchestrated effort, a psychological operation, if you will, designed to influence the minds of people who perhaps have not been following it to the level of detail that I have. I think it's hilarious. I will always have people commenting on my Telegram chat. They'll say, you know, "Oh, you know, you really need to look into this, blah, blah, blah." They're not following my channel. They have never come in here to watch a program or to interact with the chat before. They are very clearly part of a group of people who are perhaps not even real people. They're likely intelligence agents with non-official covers, or they are bots themselves. And they come in, and their sole goal and their design is to try to confuse people and turn them against somebody who I truly do believe is an American hero. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because of my own personal research, the years of looking into this subject that I've done. And I just want to remind everyone, if anybody is on the fence about it, I want to remind you that the deep state does not go after their own. The deep state protects their own. The deep state protects criminals and pedophiles. And when you take a look at what's happening in America, look at who's being attacked on a regular basis. Donald Trump certainly is being attacked. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because the deep state is trying to elevate Trump? Do you think that's because the deep state is trying to stop Trump before he returns to the office of the presidency? Well, General Flynn was forced out of the Trump administration the first time out around 23 days in. That isn't because Donald Trump wanted to let go of him. It's because the deep state concocted this operation against him to remove him so that he wouldn't be there to help Donald Trump in his first 4 years in office, because General Flynn would have been able to seriously handicap and probably bring down a lot of these deep state government rat lines all around the world. It's not just them wanting to control the United States of America. We're talking about guns, drugs, wars, human trafficking, child trafficking. This is what's at stake for them. Billions, if not trillions of dollars in revenue and whatever other weird, kinky, satanic BS they're up to. So that's why they had to go after General Flynn. And that's why they had to try to stop Donald Trump before he could remove and expose that stuff himself. Let's see. Gump says, "Pray for Bishop Marmar." Mari, I think I know who you're talking about. This is the bishop down in Australia. We are going to be talking about that in just a moment. But thank you so much. And I really do appreciate it because, you know, for those who have not been paying attention, you know, and maybe they go online and all they do is look at notifications and they see all of these people who are interacting with each other and they say, "Oh, we're exposing Flynn networks." Well, guess what? They themselves are a network of people who are aligned with certain influencers. They're definitely aligned with the goals of the deep state. They're definitely aligned with the goals of the people who want to protect human trafficking, who want to protect drug running, who want to protect CIA black operations taking place all around the world. That's what General Flynn knew about. That's what he was trying to expose. He was trying to expose the neocon war hawks that right now are trying to push us into World War III with Iran and Israel. We'll also talk about that in just a moment. So if you don't have your mind made up and you're here hanging out watching the show, then I only ask that you open your mind to start truly thinking about what it is that you're seeing. Are you just parroting the talking points of a bunch of people who you know nothing about? You don't know them in person. And even if you do, do you really know them? Do you actually know who these people are? What is it that they have to gain from destroying General Flynn? Because I'll tell you what, the deep state has a lot to gain from destroying General Flynn in the same way they have a lot to gain from destroying President Trump. So with that being said, let's go ahead and begin. Oh, that's the wrong button here. This is the correct button, guys. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. Today is tax day. And I know a lot of people are not happy about that. I'm certainly not happy about it myself. I think many people will tell you that they believe, and I think it's arguably the case, that taxation by the federal government of average everyday people, this is a criminal act. I don't condone it, but I also know that it's an easy way for the government to come after you and to destroy your life and take everything that you have if you don't give them just that little bit of a piece. They want their action. It's like a loan shark or perhaps a mobster in New York City that wants a piece of your business. They're going to provide protection so that your business will continue to run smoothly. Really, all they're going to do is make sure that nobody sets your business on fire or comes in and shoots up your establishment. And all you have to do is give them 10% every week. Well, that's a lot like the IRS. And since today was the tax day, the day where a lot of people had to have their taxes in the hands of the IRS, perhaps some people who had not thought ahead didn't hire an H&R Block representative, they showed up to the tax office in Houston, Texas over the weekend, trying to beat that April 15th deadline. Now, the tax office actually had to close early on Saturday because there were fights that broke out. Tempers were flaring. People were angry. Nobody likes to give their money to the government. My God. But also, we have a major problem with people just being completely out of touch and out of control of themselves in modern day America. So the Internal Revenue Service was forced to close early on Saturday because fights were breaking out. Taxpayers were trying to get assistance with filing their taxes. Now, I would say that Joe Biden has a lot to do with this as well, considering the fact that he has made paying taxes more difficult now. There are not a lot of new rules. And to be frank, most people probably cannot afford to hire an accountant who's going to take care of it for them and make sure that they're going to be on the up and up. A lot of people are probably worried about Joe Biden's Gestapo at the IRS, 70, 80,000 new IRS special investigators with the authority to use firearms coming to your home and wanting to take a look through your books and just make sure that you're not saying or doing the wrong things. Well, they closed abruptly because this fight broke out and hundreds of people who were lined up in front of the IRS building to get help with their taxes were now left in essentially in the lurch. And there were a lot of kids out there. There were a lot of old people with canes. We're talking families, single mothers, senior citizens, elderly people, exactly the type of people who can't afford to go spend $1,000 on an accountant to make sure that their taxes are going to be done properly. Why is that? Well, that's because the grocery stores have essentially destroyed anybody's savings. The gas pumps have essentially destroyed everybody's savings. The increase in utilities have essentially destroyed everybody's savings. We have no residual income left. We have no disposable income left. All of our money is now being sent directly or indirectly to the government. So people wanted help, except Joe Biden's IRS agents were not there to help anybody. They were only there to steal your hard-earned money. And that's a really sad state on the state of America. Now, There have been a number of polls in recent months, and I continue to go over them because it's things like that last story that add up to the unpopularity of Joe Biden and the fondness that the American voters have for Donald Trump. Now, Trump is leading Joe Biden in pretty much every single one of these polls, and even more importantly, in every single swing state. And these polls, frankly, are making the Democrats very, very nervous. And not just the Democrats, but the neoconservative war hawks as well. Donald Trump was a unique president in that he didn't get us involved in any new scaled up wars. Donald Trump kept America and the world in a state of perpetual peace. Now, that's good for the country. That's good for the people of this nation. It's not good for the military-industrial complex, that same military-industrial complex that is working behind the scenes with our black op intelligence community agents, that's also working hand in glove with the mainstream media outlets who are pumping fake news on a daily basis, the same military-industrial complex that is working diligently to make sure that Donald Trump and anybody that he's associated with is unable to return to government. Well, if the American people have anything to say about it, they're going to lose at the end of the day. That's right. I truly do believe that America will be triumphant. I believe that Donald Trump is going to return to Washington, D.C., and along with it, peace and stability to the United States of America. Good economic times are coming up ahead. But a brand new poll has the Democrats a lot more worried than they've been in the past. So this poll has to do with voter identification. Democrats have had a strong advantage on this position for years. The narrative behind the idea of voter identification was all that if you were forced to show your ID or you asked someone to show their ID to get them to vote, to make sure that they were legally and lawfully casting a ballot as a citizen of the United States of America, and even more importantly, that they were actually residents of that area, that they were at the right precinct, or that perhaps they were not an illegal alien. Many, many people for years were of the opinion that this was an act of pure racism. But as we've discussed on this channel so many times before, the idea that people of color are not intelligent enough or not resourceful enough to get themselves an ID card, well, that, my friends, is the real racist sentiment. So now we have a split between Americans who identify as Democrat and Republican, and it's pretty much dead even among the general public. Now, since the 1980s, Republicans had last had a lead in voter identification, and there have been a big shift towards people identifying as Democrats until there were 5% more voters identifying as Democrats than Republicans in 2020. Now, around that time, the rhetoric in America began to get so bad, it began to turn people off. You had members of the Democrat establishment, rank and file Democrats, who said, you know what? You know, I'm sick and tired of these arguments that this is a racist system when, you know, I'm a person of color. I see what's happening here in America. And it's the Democrats who are turning us into a racist country more than anything else. You know, whatever happened to color blindness? Whatever happened to equal opportunity? Whatever happened to meritocracy? You know, the Democrats have essentially used people of color for decades to get what they want in this country, to push narratives and to demonize anyone who uses their brain in a way outside of the narrative establishment. So Pew results in 2023 reveal that there has been a significant shift in party affiliation. I posit that it is likely as a result of the devastation that America has undergone, as a result of that racial animus that has been created in this country by Democrats, by and large. So as far as this affiliation, this cycle, we have 49% of voters who are publicly identifying as Democrat or leaning Democrat, while 48% identify as Republican or leaning Republican. Now, keep in mind, these types of polls are always going to oversample for Democrats. So generally speaking, what I've seen is that you've got probably a 5 to 7 point swing for the left every single time you see one of these polls. You can bet that the real results of that poll are going to actually, they should be swinging to the right. But unfortunately, many of these polling agencies are simply not comfortable doing the right type of work. Perhaps they're actually working to oversample for Democrats. And then you also have people who still have this sort of sense that if they identify as a Republican, that means that they're going to be identified as racist. Maybe somebody's going to find out. Maybe they're going to be exposed for actually having conservative values. Yes. Okay. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I love you, baby. You know it. Hold on. I got to lift my desk up a little bit. I'm a little scrunched in there. All right. So about 33% of respondents from this survey said that they identify as being conservative or moderate in 2023. Now, the other side of the aisle only sees 23% identifying as liberal Democrats or leaning liberal. So that means that Democrats had been up 5 points, and now it's pretty much even across the board when they get these results. And now they are identifying as conservative more often than they're identifying as liberal. So that's bad news for the Democrats. So they hear this, they see what's happening all across America, and they understand that they are losing that narrative war. Also, for your consideration, as an example, we've recently been talking about the uncommitted vote, which you're seeing in many swing states all across the country. Well, Joe Biden was literally handed the victory in the 2020 election with a couple of key votes in some very important swing states. And in two of these swing states, Joe Biden had officially on paper won by 115,000 votes. Well, in those two swing states, he has now lost over 364,000 voters. Far, like more than double. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's triple his margin of victory. I ask you this question. How will it be possible for the deep state swamp rats to steal the votes in the next election? How will it be possible for them to do it once these voter rolls have been cleaned up, once party affiliations have been successfully switched, once the rank and file voters of this nation come forward and say, you know what, even the living people have decided we can't vote for Joe Biden. We simply cannot support this dementia patient. Instead, we're going to be supporting Donald Trump for many different reasons. But this latest news is additionally going to be sending the White House and the Democrat establishment into a panic. So in a report by the Daily Caller, it shows that Democrat registrations have dropped in Nevada, they've dropped in North Carolina, and they've dropped in Pennsylvania. These were three of the most hotly contested states in the 2020 election. Now, it says nothing about Georgia. Pretty much all of those votes were stolen down in Georgia. But Democrats are still holding a Republican advantage in all other three states. That gap has shrunk significantly. By the time we get to November, and keep in mind, the RNC, which is now essentially being run by the Trump Organization, is working specifically on get out the vote efforts. They are working specifically to register voters in every single swing state and even beyond that. They are working diligently to ensure that on election night, in every single precinct all across America, Republican RNC attorneys are going to be present and they're going to be ready to challenge votes. And they were given a strict mandate by Michael Whatley to be in the room. There is no such thing as stepping away for a smoke break. There's no such thing as walking out to go take a leak, because as soon as you do, those Democrats in the count room are going to pull suitcases of ballots out from underneath their tables and they're going to run them through, giving a 100,000 vote advantage in the time that it took you to go take a leak or smoke a cigarette. According to Pennsylvania state election data, and as reported by the Daily Caller, Democrats have lost 336,269 registered voters in that state since November 3rd of 2020. Now, they officially on paper hold a nearly 400,000 vote registration advantage over Republicans, But this is a sharp decline from the 685,818 lead that Democrats had going into the last presidential election. With a 400,000 advantage on Republican registrations, I ask you, how many of those 400,000 belong to people who are lawfully registered? I mean, it's not like Josh Shapiro is going to do much to tell us that. In fact, he's probably going to work to maintain as many of them on the books as possible. But I just want to remind you that there are still efforts all across America from a number of different organizations, not simply by the RNC, but a number of different voter integrity organizations to get these voter rolls cleaned up and ensure that those who are available to vote on Election Day are real living people who live in actual homes, who have not moved out of the state, and who are still alive. In North Carolina, Democrats saw a decrease of 212,084 voters from December 2020 until April of this year. Now, Democrats outnumber Republicans by 170,943 voters. That is a decrease of over 200,000 registered voters since 2020. Now, the numbers in Nevada are not as shocking, but Democrats have lost 27,757 voters since December of 2020. So the Democrat majority in registrations over Republicans has shrunk from 96,875 in 2020 to 55,116. Again, between now, April of 2024 and November of 2024, this is anybody's game at this point. And all we need to do is ensure that we get as many people out to vote as possible and that we have the people there to challenge these ballots and to verify the signatures. If you are a person who has gone to your precinct, gone to your county and told them that you're available to work on Election Day, you want to be a signature verifier, you want to do anything you can, please let me know about it, guys. We need as many people out there as possible. Now, it's my prediction that between now, April and November of 2024, this trend is going to continue. Does anybody in the audience believe that America is on an upswing currently? Does anyone in the audience believe that Joe Biden or his ineffectual puppet master administration is going to be able to change anything of import between now and November? Does anybody truly believe that America is going to get any greater between now and November? Well, maybe on November 5th. Isn't that it? November 5th? Whatever the election day is, I think it's November 4th, November 5th, something like that. I'd have to look it up. So don't crucify me in the chat. But I think the answer to that is obvious. No, exactly. No. Nothing is going to get better until Donald Trump walks back in to Washington, D.C. and places his hand on that Bible and takes the oath of office once more. What does that mean? That means that they're going to continue to hemorrhage voters. They're going to continue to lose base. They're going to continue to do worse and worse and worse and worse. Things are not looking good for puppet master Joe Biden. Things are not looking good for the deep state swamp rat establishment. Things are not looking good for those ivory tower living mother effers. They're about to get fired. They're about to get fired in a big way. So in between now and then, I think we're looking at hundreds of thousands of more registered voters changing affiliation from Democrat to Republican. You guys, I have made contact with Peter Berneger and the people from Hot Government in Wisconsin. They're coming on the show in a couple of weeks. You might remember I did a report on their two organizations about a week and a half ago, something like that. And I'm looking forward to speaking with them. They're good people, and I hope you guys will be there for that interview, and hopefully anybody who lives in Wisconsin will be there. Yes, Cindaloo, Wisconsin cheats. That's right. Wisconsin does cheat. However, there have been some changes since the 2020 election. So let's take a look at some information from CNN. Well, first of all, if we look at every single state, Democrats have lost over 500,000 voters, 576,110 voters in those three states. And according to CNN, fewer than 200,000 voters combined decided the winner in those three states in 2020. Biden won Pennsylvania with just a little under 81,660 votes. How many of them were ballots that were shipped in from New York City? In Nevada, he won by 33,596. How many of those were living, actual human people living in homes with blood in their veins? And then, of course, President Trump actually won North Carolina by 74,483 votes. So his margin of victory is just going to get stronger. In order for Joe Biden to win these states, he's going to need to do a massive, massive voter turnout effort if he wants any chance at victory. And I ask you again, do you think that is a legitimate possibility given the state of America today? If you do think that's a legitimate possibility, well, then you're living in a land of unicorns and make-believe because you're clearly disconnected from reality. In a latest breaking poll from Real Clear Politics, it shows that President Trump is currently holding a 4-point lead in North Carolina. He's got a 3.2 lead in Nevada, and it shows Biden edging him out at 0.1 points. That lead, however minuscule, will not exist come November. So these figures are surely not what Joe Biden and the deep state swamp rats want to hear. Many of these, I guess, pollsters and the Democrat talking heads, they are freaking out when they see this data, because I don't know anybody who's ever overcome this sort of performance in history. It simply never happened. The writing is on the wall. This is why you got Democrats coming out and saying we're preparing for a Biden loss, because they know it's impossible for him to come back and to be cheated back into office. It simply will not be able to happen. Biden has a real problem on his hands. This is coming from Republican strategist Scott Jennings. He said many segments that you previously supported him are not, and you can clearly see that in the results. The trick, of course, is that once people are registered, then you have to turn them out. Well, in a recent analysis by the Pew Research Center, it showed the nation is basically split on these voter registrations. In Florida, from 2018 to 2022, Democrats lost 47,727 registered voters. And they also lost the voter registration advantage over Republicans. Florida is now a solidly red state. Now, there was some turmoil in the 2022 gubernatorial election. Obviously, Ron DeSantis was able to edge out, Andrew Gillum. What did he do? He smoked meth with some male hookers. That's right. Yeah. Was that in 2020? Because he ran against Charlie Crist in 2020. Oh, what the heck? No, that must have been 2018. Andrew Gillum was 2018. Andrew Gillum almost beat him, but of course he was out smoking methamphetamine. And then Charlie Crist, who probably hangs out with Andrew Gillum smoking meth and hanging out with male hookers, he barely got by him too. But there certainly is a lot of hanky-panky that's going down here in Florida in the same way that we've got hanky-panky in many other states. But my ultimate point is this. There is a shift happening in America, and it's happening universally in pretty much every single state, even in the Democrats' strongholds where liberal cities have essentially succumbed to the gospel of progressive politics. Even in those cities, Democrats are switching to a Republican affiliation. They're kicking Democrat politicians, mayors, city council members, district attorneys. They're kicking them out. They're getting rid of them because they're sick of the lip service. They're sick of these ultra left wing progressive policies, which are destroying the cities and the states they love. So up until this point, the Democrats were lying to themselves, and they thought, well, they were saying publicly that this is not going to be a close call at all. But now even they can no longer lie to themselves. They look in the mirrors every single morning and they still say it. Now, on Saturday, Representative Michael Waltz, he's one of our reps down here in Florida. He spoke out about this recent attack on Israel from Iran. This is a really interesting story here. And actually, hold on, I need to push this story back because the Iran stuff is a little bit later in the show. Yeah, hold on. I got some good stuff here, guys. Okay, yes, we'll go ahead and push it back. Now, keeping with this theme of Donald Trump eclipsing Joe Biden with the people of America walking away from the Democrat plantation and thoroughly joining the America First movement, the New York Times, one of the most far-left fake-wing news organizations in the nation, owned and operated by the Central Intelligence Agency. Even the far-left New York Times has admitted that the growing numbers of voters are moving away from Joe Biden and, more importantly, the Democrat establishment, and they are looking back on Donald Trump's time in office. And they're saying to themselves what many of us did as soon as Donald Trump came in. This is going to be good for America. Why is it that the mainstream media keeps saying all these things about Donald Trump being evil? He's going to destroy us. And yet the only thing that I notice is that I got more money in my bank account. The only thing I notice is that it's safer on the streets, despite the fact that left-wing commies are going out and shooting people in the chest. This is still a better country on virtually every single level. So why is the mainstream media talking so much smack about Donald Trump? God, it's almost like they give themselves away. It's almost like they are telling you exactly what they truly mean with the subtext of what they're saying. It's the same thing in the alternative media. It's the same thing in the anon circles when people will tell you exactly what they're truly talking about. I'm talking about restoring America. I'm talking about Donald Trump being the man to bring back to Washington, D.C. We need another political outsider, and we don't need a different political outsider. We need the same political outsider that the false fake news New York Times tried to destroy the first time around. And so the New York Times, they've gotten to the point throwing their hands up. Oh, man, we can't keep lying to these people. Nobody buys our paper anymore. Nobody's listening to us. People are out there listening to Zach Payne. What the hell's going on? So they've had to tell the truth, too. They've had to tell the truth. They published this article just yesterday, and they are admitting, conceding even, that voters are looking back at Donald Trump's 4 years in office, and they are saying to themselves, geez, you know, that wasn't so bad. What was the mainstream media talking about? Like, what were they telling us? Why did they tell us over and over again that Trump was a criminal? Why did they tell us over and over again that Trump was going to destroy America? All it did was make things better. It made our nation strong, not just here in our homeland, but abroad, too. You know, they made us think that the world looked at us and laughed. But now we got a dementia patient pooping his pants and falling down the steps on the airplane every time he gets on Air Force One. We got an old man who sniffs babies and takes naked showers with his 12-year-old daughter. What the hell is going on? We got dog-faced pony soldiers. We are in a really, really bad place. Donald Trump was awesome. My gosh. Oh, God. So this is New York Times summation of what it was like, what people are finally realizing. This is so funny. I love being ahead of the curve on this stuff, you guys. I mean, you know, I've known this for so long. Like, at a certain point, like, these organizations, the people who previously ridiculed us and said that we were cultists because we loved Donald Trump and we loved what he was doing for America. Now they're looking back and they're like, my God, Zach was right. Oh, my God. Donald Trump was awesome. Esther G says, Zach, you're a wonderful storyteller. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Esther. I really appreciate it. Also, thank you to Just Duckies, who says, much love and God bless you, Zach. Thank you to Porpoiseful. Thank you for the cookie. Thank you to Judy the Lady Pug and Paul Thaddeus and D. Dallad and Nothak, G-N-O-Thak, and then 123SKG. You guys are the best. Okay. So, views of Donald J. Trump's presidency have become more positive since he left office. Is anybody surprised? We told you. Donald Trump told you. Joe Biden would walk into Washington, D.C., and things were going to fall apart. It's not prophecy, although it kind of is. So, when these people who listened to the mainstream media now look back fondly on the time that Donald Trump spent in Washington, D.C., and they check their checking accounts, they stop at the gas station. They go to the – I went to the grocery store yesterday. I got a week's worth of groceries. It was $320. $320. I used to be able to go to the grocery store once a week, spend $100, and Lisa and I could eat that entire week. No more. No more. It's absolutely insane. Penny Whitbrot says, Donald Trump always poops in the – you never have to worry about Donald Trump taking a dump in his pants. Oh, man. I gotta stop getting excited and hitting the desk. I just, oh, okay. Hang on. Sorry, guys. If I hit the desk too hard, I need a new monitor. Okay, cool. I just gotta stay still, I guess. Okay. So because people are looking back, they're looking fondly, and they're saying, well, how do we get that feeling back? How do we recapture the magic? Well, I'll tell you how. Come November, you got to do one thing. You got to vote Donald J. Trump. You're not, you know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing and expecting something different. Well, if you go to the voting booth on election day in November, and you vote Joe Biden and you think he's going to do anything different the second time around, well, you know, obviously you're freaking insane. You're disconnected from reality. So people are looking back and they're saying, my God, my life was so much better. Things were good in America. And how do you think that bodes well for Donald Trump's chances of getting a vote from those people? Well, gosh, it really increases the possibility that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. You know, obviously, there's all of us. Every living, breathing Mogadonian that voted for Donald Trump the first two times, we're voting for Donald Trump again. Okay? And then you've got a whole other segment of Democrats who are like totally like just riddled with Trump derangement syndrome. Okay, and they will never vote for Donald Trump. But now they can't vote for Joe Biden. Who are they going to vote for? RFK Jr. You got probably a split down the middle of all of the people who did vote for Joe Biden before. Half of them are going to vote for Joe Biden. The other half are going to vote for RFK. Well, I'm sorry. Let's do a thirds. We'll do it in thirds. We got a third, third, and a third. A third will vote for Donald Trump. A third will vote for Joe Biden. A third will vote for RFK Jr. That's basically how it looks at this point. So they might look back at Trump's time in office and they might say it was kind of crazy. You know, I mean, we had mean tweets. The mainstream media, they were talking about him all the time. Well, shit, has anything changed? Have they stopped talking about Donald Trump? No. And he's not even in Washington, D.C. They cannot get him out of their heads. Warrior Mima says, Zach, you need a cup of coffee with a lid. Next time the coffee might not be as tepid. Love you. I love you, too. Yeah, no, definitely. And it wasn't all that tepid. It was pretty fresh. It was pretty fresh. Mm. But thank God Lisa has the AC cranked up in here. And actually, babe, if you can turn it just a little bit cooler, I'd appreciate it. These lights, I left the blinds open on the other side, and so a lot of heat's in here. So it might have been tumultuous. It might have been chaotic. But the economy, his handling of the economy, his handling of immigration, his handling of law and order. How many times have I said this? We are a nation of laws. Without those laws being enforced, we have no order. And what do we have now under Joe Biden? We have laws that are being ignored. We have no order. We have unrestrictive, illegal alien immigration coming across our border, bringing with them intel assets from China, from Muslim terror nations. We have illegal gang members coming from South and Central America, bringing with them drugs and rapists and robbers. It's bad. It's real bad. And that's not Donald Trump's fault. Now, they might look back at Trump and say, man, I didn't like the way he tweeted. I'm so sick of mean tweets. Well, what would you rather have? Your daughter, your freshman daughter, being raped and murdered by an illegal at college her first year? Or would you rather wake up and hear about Donald Trump giving somebody a tongue lashing on Twitter? I know what I'd take. Sure as hell wouldn't want the first one. I'll take mean tweets any day over what the hell we got now. Now, to be fair, it is the fake New York Times, so they don't really mention any of the negative stuff about Donald Trump other than Joe Biden is not really handling the economy well, that Bidenomics is a bad deal for the nation. But they admit it. They admit that a lot of people miss Donald Trump. We miss him. We don't just miss him. We love him. And we love what he did for America. And we love what he's going to do for America. And what he's going to empower the rest of the nation to do to ensure that those changes stick once he's gone. So God bless Donald Trump. God bless the United States of America. And God bless every God-fearing, intelligent voter in this nation. Don't worry, if you're not an intelligent voter, there's still time. You've got time. You can make it. All right. Let me also say thank you to Sean Joe for a can and for a cookie. You guys are the best. Thank you very much. God, I love mean tweets. I had so many friends who were like, I just wish he'd stop tweeting. I'm like, why? Oh, I had something that I said, but I hesitate to say it on the air. Anyways, look at this, guys. Look, what do you think of this? I thought the FBI already had their mind made up. The FBI, they said that this was not a criminal act. This was an act of God. It was basically something unavoidable. I don't know. Well, now the FBI in Baltimore is conducting a criminal investigation into the deadly collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Good Lord. I guess even the FBI, even they can figure some shit out every now and then. Oh, good Lord. Oh, okay, hold on. I need to shut that camera off. Yes, there we go. So even the FBI gets it right. Oh, so they've opened this criminal investigation. And I'm not certain, but it looks like it's focused on what the circumstances were that led up to this collapse and the ship hitting the bridge. They want to make sure that all of the federal laws were followed. And they also want to make sure, of course, I would imagine, they want to make sure that it's not like an act of terror or some aggressive act by another nation. But the thing is, they're not actually announcing this. Somebody told a reporter at the AP, and that source has spoken out on condition of anonymity. So if you ask the FBI, they're still going to say, hey, everything's cool here, bro. Everything's cool here. But the FBI was aboard the cargo ship Dolly, and they conducted a court-authorized law enforcement search. And they did admit that earlier today. But they have not elaborated And they've also said they're not going to comment further on the nature of the investigation. But meanwhile, the mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, had announced a partnership with two law firms to launch legal action to hold the wrongdoers responsible, which certainly indicates some level of guilt, like someone screwed up. The only question now is, who was it? Who actually did the screwing of that pooch? And of course, the dolly, the ship that smashed into that port in the early hours of March 26th, has left Baltimore in ruins, essentially. It's caused a big span of that bridge to collapse into the Patapsco River. It killed six crew members, plunged to their deaths. Divers have recovered only three of those bodies. And the NTSB chairman, Jennifer Homedy, said last week that investigators were focusing on the ship's electrical power system. If you'll remember, we watched the videos a number of times. There was a blackout, a power outage moments before the crash. And allegedly, there had been another power outage previously when the ship was further up that canal. So it's pretty evident in those videos that the lights went out. They come back on. Likely that was one of the reasons that that ship, the Dolly, ended up hitting the bridge. But Homedy said information that they've gleaned from the vessel's voyage data recorder is pretty basic. That information in the engine room is going to help us tremendously. Serter says, I think it's more like finding and hiding evidence, like them raiding P. Diddy. Well, let me remind you, that wasn't the FBI who raided P. Diddy. That was Homeland Security Investigations. And the raids were as a result of the ongoing civil case, which is going on in New York. It was New York that precipitated the raid and the investigation. So I think it's too early to say that they're hiding information. There's also his drug mule, who was caught at the airport trying to flee the country with him, and they took him into custody. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The thing is, the quicker the investigation gets wrapped up, the more likely it is to be a cover-up. If this investigation stretches on, say, through the end of the year into the beginning of next year, and it's Donald Trump's Department of Justice and federal law enforcement agencies that end up bringing charges against Diddy, I think that's a different ballgame altogether. But anyways, in his statement made by Mayor Brandon Scott, when he announced that partnership with the two law firms, he said that the city of Baltimore will take decisive action to hold responsible all entities accountable for the Key Bridge tragedy, including the owner, charterer, manager, operator, and the manufacturer of the MV Dolly, as well as any other potentially liable third party. So it sounds like they're going on the supposition that perhaps this was some sort of malfeasance on behalf of the operators, or even perhaps the manufacturer of the ship itself. Was there some inherent flaw in that system? What possible data are they going to be able to retrieve from the onboard recorders, which might give them any indication? Can we look at any other instances of this happening anywhere else in the world and see if perhaps something similar has happened? Kitsko says, I used to be up when Trump's first tweets would come across Twitter and have had OJ come out of my nose more than once. Me too. Me too. Seriously, like Lisa and I would just be, we both had notifications on for Trump's tweets and they would come up. And if we were in bed together and we saw them at the same time and both just started cracking up, we knew. So, if the civil action being taken by Baltimore is going to take care of the money, then any particular lawful malfeasance is going to be taken care of by a criminal investigation by the FBI. Now, this is one of those things that definitely could be a cover-up. I'm of the opinion, and a lot of other people are, that this possibly could be some sort of attack by a foreign nation. We're going to complete that thought when I come back on the other side of the break. So sit back. We'll be back in a moment. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. So getting back to the idea of who actually did this. Now, we know that the Chinese have virtually infiltrated all of the computer and infrastructure material in our ports. Now, during the Obama years, many of the U.S. ports, critical ports, had their ownership and had their operating responsibilities handed over to Chinese companies. During that time, it would have been very easy to load up those computers and the critical infrastructure with viruses and backdoors and malware that would allow for them to be manipulated from abroad. Now, keep in mind, during Biden's years, we've had a massive increase in DEI hiring. Now, the Chinese Communist Party has always used the specter of race in the United States of America to try to drive a wedge between different factions of society. They've also been pretty conveniently successful with infiltrating American society, government, and infrastructure with their own agents and assets. So we're talking perhaps Chinese citizens that have moved here, taken on positions of authority, and then report back to the Chinese Communist Party, while at the same time providing saboteur duties here in those positions. And then you've also got the DEI hires, which are oftentimes openly communist hires, who could potentially be working with and for the Chinese Communist Party as well. So there are a number of different attack vectors that could allow for something like this to happen. Now, shortly after the bridge came down, I spoke to a friend of mine who actually works in government. And I said, what do you think the chances are that this was an attack? And he said, you know, in the immediate aftermath, I see no reason to specifically believe that this is an attack. However, it's possible. And he said, if it is an attack, then what I would expect to see is more events of this type happening in quick succession. Now, Laura Logan had her own contacts who were actually in intelligence. They said, this is an attack and we know it. Well, guess what happened? Shortly after the Francis Scott Key Bridge had that happen, there were a couple of other events at or near bridges in other parts of the country. There was another bridge that was hit. There was another major infrastructure bridge that had a fire spontaneously break out underneath. No explanation. And then we just had a series of barges become mysteriously dislodged and travel uncontrolled down the Ohio River, shutting down bridges and causing extensive damage. So I reached out to my friend after I think there was one that happened in like, I can't remember the name of the place, but it was like a related to like Liberty or Patriots or something like that. I can't remember the name. He said, yeah, this looks suspicious. So then I wrote back to him again this weekend. And I said, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think we're there yet? And he said, yeah, definitely. So now that's two different government sources from two different individuals who have all come to the exact same conclusion. That's the conclusion that I've come to. There's absolutely no reason that we should be having these sorts of infrastructure and shipping related events taking place in such quick succession. It also reminds me of the other critical infrastructure that we've lost since Joe Biden came into office. Remember all of those food processing plants, all those factory farms going up in flames, destroying all of that stuff? Now, what else is happening? Joe Biden sold all of the strategic petroleum reserves to the Chinese, and he's not going to fill them back up. On top of that, he decimated the armed forces when he forced a ton of people to drop out and retire early because they didn't want to get the jab. And then you had other people who got the jab, but then they became physically handicapped or mentally incapacitated as a result of taking it. You add that to that another layer of unrestricted alien migration coming across that southern border, laden with citizens of the Chinese People's Republic, who are also members of the Chinese Communist Party. And it's looking like a perfect storm, guys. It's looking like a perfect storm. That's not even mentioning the terrorists that have come through. I could go on and on. I could go all day. Joe Biden has created a situation here in America where we are potentially the most dangerous and vulnerable as we've ever been. Now, another thing they talked about for a while, but has kind of grown quiet here in recent months, our critical infrastructure as it applies to the electrical grid. I'm sure you remember a couple of key hacks that happened maybe about a year ago. The grid down, I believe it was like in the South, it was like North and South Carolina, something like that. They got hacked and they were essentially offline for a bit. We just recently had AT&T and a number of other cellular carriers all mysteriously going down all at the same time. Huh. It's bad news bears. There's a lot of possibilities there. But anyways, my guy said he would be on the lookout now for major disruptions of our electrical grid. So keep your eyes open. But we just had 24 barges break loose from a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania marina on Friday night. How did they come apart? Well, we don't know. All we can say is they've caused extensive damage as they floated down the Ohio River completely out of control. This is the McKees Rocks Bridge and the West End Bridge. They both got shut down temporarily after these 26 Campbell Transportation Company vessels that were mostly loaded with dry cargo began heading downstream. Now, 11 of the barges have been found and they've been pinned against the riverbanks, but another 14 continued down the river. And 6 of them have actually gone over a dam. Any damage to the dam? Well, this one happened in the middle of the night, 11:25 p.m. They got an alert for the Pittsburgh Fire, EMS, and police. They got dispatched out for these reports of barges breaking loose and floating in an uncontrolled manner down the river. Yeah, watch the water. Look at that. Jones on it. In total, 26 barges broke loose, 23 were loaded, and 3 were empty. Now, the ones that had the dry cargo, they were loaded with like coal. They apparently had no hazardous material on board, which is good. There have been no specific injuries reported, but the marina did experience extensive damage. Now, officials also added that both local bridges will be reopened when it's determined that it's safe to do so. So we don't know exactly how bad that damage is. Now, the barges may or may not have come into contact with substructure, but they're not willing to take that risk. They're going to have to go diving. They're going to go have to take a look underneath, and they're going to have to make sure that it's safe for people to travel on that bridge. This is just 2 weeks after the Francis Scott Key Bridge came down because they were collided with other vessels and the Dolly ship. So keep counting, guys. Let's see how many of these we can rack up before November. All right. Also, in Sydney, a horrific scene as a Muslim terrorist with a knife attacked a bishop as he was giving a sermon in church. It was also live streamed on YouTube. And let me tell you, the people of Sydney are not happy. They want to get their hands on this guy. They were actually crowding around the police station, and they wanted literally this guy to be brought out so they could lynch him. He had stabbed multiple people besides the bishop. And as far as I know, no one has been killed, but obviously there are some devastating injuries. Police have arrested that suspect, but they are not talking about exactly how bad the injuries are. Three other people have been wounded, and they are thought to be life-threatening, so they may not be out of the woods yet. But we're talking hundreds of people gathering outside this church, trying to get videos, trying to get any information they can. Chanting, bring him out, an eye for an eye. There was a video that showed a ladder being used to shatter a window on the church, which obviously I do not agree with. There's no reason to damage a church. And the police were allegedly forced to use tear gas to enable officers so that they could even get away from the area. They were that worried about the people outside. Now, the disturbing scenes, again, were played out live on YouTube, on a live stream. And I think that this guy was apparently upset with the bishop because he thought that he was criticizing Muhammad or something like that. But as far as I know, that wasn't happening at all. So what I ask is that you guys keep the bishop and the parishioners who were stabbed in this senseless attack in your prayers. Funny story. Just a couple of days ago, there was another stabbing attack in Sydney as well. Now, this guy was not a Muslim. He was apparently like a van life guy, a former male prostitute living out of his van. I guess he just went crazy. But it's a little strange for them to be happening so close to each other. And what does it tell you? It tells you that if somebody is sick enough to want to kill people, they're going to find any way they can to do it. You don't need a gun to kill people. All you got to do is pick up something sharp and you can go ahead and cause a little bit of mayhem. All right. So this kind of ties into what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. The direction the country is gone. The removal of a sense of reverence for life. Removal of faith. The destruction of the family. And the elevation of sick and obscene behavior. Well, in California, I didn't know this, but apparently it is not a felony to purchase a child to rape them. No, it's just a misdemeanor. So right now, if you were an adult and you purchased a child to commit heinous, disgusting acts upon them, ruin them for life, destroy them mentally and physically, you'd only be looking at a maximum of 1 year in jail and a $10,000 fine. I mean, that's pretty much nothing. And I was as disgusted as I ever have been to learn that that was the case. I thought this must be a joke. Like, this can't be real. You guys, I need to give a couple of thank yous from Cash App. I noticed over the weekend. Colin said, I think he was talking about the coffee. He said, holy shit, it's too funny. Bring me pants. It's definitely about the coffee. Yeah. Michelle, she said, here's a little extra. Thanks. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that donation. Nancy said, great interview with General Flynn. Thank you so much, Nancy. And Diana Houston, just earlier today, she said, you always have my support. Much love, sweet friend. Diana, I love you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. But not only that, California is trying to do the right thing. They're trying to reclassify the purchasing of children for raping them as a felony, as it should be. I mean, this is the kind of thing that an adult should go to prison for life if this is what they do. But these three left-wing organizations, and I use that term lightly, organization, okay? I use that term lightly, but these three left-wing organizations are fighting to stop the reclassification of the purchase and rape of children from a misdemeanor to a felony. So, and these are three self-identified far-left social justice groups. They're the ones who are spending money, who are advertising against. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You guys, I also got a donation on my website. Hold on just a second. This was a very generous donation, and I wanted to make sure that I thanked you on screen. Okay, Brad, thank you so much for your kind support over the years. I really, really appreciate it. Brad Painter, you said I could thank you on air. I want to say thank you so much. It's so rare when people are able to give that much, and you quite literally are you are doing God's work to allow me to do God's work. And it truly, truly, truly cannot be said enough. I just wanted to make sure how much you understand, how much I appreciate you, everybody who supports the show. But this came in through the website, and so there was no notification, so I didn't get to say it on air. But I just wanted to make sure that I recognized you as well. Now, if you donate through the website and you want me to say thank you to you on air, send me a message, because I don't get a notification. I get like a report at the end of the month. And so I just want everybody to know who donated through the website that I do see them, but I don't see them individually. I have to go seek them out. But these groups stand in opposition to this bill that would strengthen the laws. And who are they? This is the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, Californians for Safety and Justice, and the California Public Defenders Association. So under current law, the act of buying a child to rape them, it's a misdemeanor. You might get up to a year in county jail, not even in prison. You have a minimum of 2 days in jail. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? If somebody bought a kid for this kind of stuff and they get 2 days in jail, you don't even get a mandatory $10,000 fine. That's the most you can get fined with. You also won't be a sex offender for your whole life. You are maybe required to register as a tier one sex offender for at least 10 years. You might not have to do that. Republican State Senator Shannon Grove is the one trying to push through this new bill, SB 1414, that would elevate this offense to a felony. It was introduced last month because obviously, the way the law is written right now, it's insanity. Completely disconnected from the realities of the situation. Right now, you can basically traffic kids in the state of California, and you don't even really have to worry about it. Think about how much money, how much sick pleasure these pedophiles are going to derive from being able to have done this heinous act over and over and over again. I mean, there's basically a major reward for them and not much of a punishment that they're going to have to go through. So, of course, you got to change the law. They would instead give them 2 to 4 years in prison and a fine of up to $25,000. I don't even think that goes far enough. Now, why is Senator Grove seeking to change the law? Well, this is because of conversations she's had with survivors of sex trafficking. You have to target the buyers of these children, and you have to put them away. You have to guarantee them that they're going to go to prison for a long time. Otherwise, who cares? I mean, these people are sick in the heads. They're going to have no problem breaking the law and trafficking in children. A lot of survivors of lived experience have said, you've got to go after the buyer. It's just a misdemeanor. And I said, there's no way. I thought they were mistaken, as was I. So this bill also aims to eliminate the requirement that those convicted must have known or should have known the age of the minor. If you're buying a child, You know exactly what you're doing. It also seeks to extend the sex offender registration requirement to 10 years for buyers. Why isn't it forever? Why don't they put them on the sex offender registry for the rest of their lives? Now, Grove is already facing resistance from Democrat lawmakers who are wary of increasing prison sentences. The Senate Public Safety Committee's analysis reveals clear opposition from those groups that I mentioned before, Californians for Safety and Justice. What about the safety of children? What about justice for the children who are trafficked? The Ella Baker Center for Human Rights. What about the rights of that human child? And the California Public Defenders Association. I mean, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. But are you telling me, California Public Defenders Association, that you're comfortable with someone who's guilty of trafficking children getting little more than a slap on the wrist? That's if they go to prison. If. Now, let's be clear. If they go to prison and they attend and they meet up with somebody who was trafficked or abused as a child, chances are good they're going to meet the wrong end of a broomstick. They're going to get Jeffrey Dahmered, but that's not a guarantee. So the committee is scheduled to hear this bill tomorrow. And Grove is, of course, hoping to capitalize on the momentum from the successful bipartisan bill, which classified child sex trafficking as a serious felony under the three strikes law. But it needs to go farther. These people need to pay. In a society that does not protect children, that does not protect the most vulnerable members of its society, that society is evil. It can't go on. So California, finally catching up with other parts of the country, but right now it's totally no big deal. Now, can't say the same for Texas. Texas is a different story altogether, but this goes back to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. 10 suspected illegal aliens were just arrested in connection with child pornography charges in Chambers County, Texas. 10 suspected illegals were just arrested on child porn charges. Penny says, Zach, if they can justify ripping a full-term infant to pieces in the mother's room rather than simply delivering them, what wouldn't they sanction? No, you're absolutely right. This is just one issue of many among the issue of protecting children in California. And I know, believe me, I know. We got to start somewhere, though. And if they start finally accepting that children have to be protected, then that can go towards changing the idea of what murder is. Bill Maher, over the weekend, he said, yeah, abortion is kind of murder, and I'm okay with that. Sick bastard. Sick, sick. Anyways, California is a messed up place right now. And I can't wait until the people of that state take it over and start doing good work. The sex offender laws in Cali are a joke. They don't watch them. Some of them have been found by grassroots organizations living right next to schools with no oversight. Yes, Serter. Correct. Yeah. California is a pedophile paradise, which is horrible for the God-fearing American patriots that live there and want to protect their kids. So this raid was uncovered. And inside this group, there were illegal aliens from Asia and Guatemala. And this was in a suburb. This was a residential neighborhood. And it's been identified as a hub for human trafficking activities. This is coming from Homeland Security and local law enforcement officials. Let me just say this. Homeland Security investigations. These are the same people who raided Puff Daddy's homes in Florida and California. So the Chambers County Sheriff's Office executed the search warrant at 5118 Dripping Springs. This is about 33 miles east of downtown Houston. And it was part of an investigation triggered by a tip-off to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. The intelligence received by the task force indicated that child pornography was being downloaded at the address. Look at this. come to America illegally for the super fast internet download speed so they can download child pornography as soon as they get here. Upon arrival, deputies were forced to make a forced entry when the occupants refused to open the door. Inside, they found these 10 illegals who are believed to have been here without any legal right. And Homeland Security was called to the scene to assist with the unfolding investigation. And the suspects were transported to Chambers County Jail for processing by Homeland Security Investigations. Now, this is an ongoing investigation. They're looking into possible human trafficking and human smuggling, as well as other crimes, including downloading of child pornography. They confiscated a bunch of electronic gadgets from the location, but of course, they haven't specifically stated what those devices contained. But it's a good chance that they included child pornography. What if there is like a human trafficking ring that is bringing pedophiles into America with the express purpose of feeding the child rape industry that's here? These types of downloads are illegal and are heavily monitored. We're not going to tolerate that in our country. Good. Good. Put them away. Now, very different. Texas, one thing. California and Denver, it's another thing entirely. The mayor for Denver, who I told you about a week or two ago, said that they were going to have to start cutting some important services for the residents of Denver. Well, Mayor Mike Johnson just announced that, unfortunately, they're going to have to do a little bit more. They're actually going to be defunding the city's police and fire departments so they can take more of that hard-earned Denver cash and use it to house and care for the illegal aliens as their city continues to drown in a wave of illegals. And it's costing the Mile High City millions every single day. They are increasing its spending on clothing, on free food, on medical care, on housing, and other things. They're also going to be spending money on programs for job counseling for the illegals who don't have any right to be here and are going to take jobs from American citizens. They're also going to teach them English and, of course, job training resources. Now, Mayor Johnston said the program also includes access to language instruction, career pathway explorations, industry-recognized credential training, and work-based learning opportunities. So this newest suite of training programs for the illegals is part of Johnston's proposed $89.9 million in spending for migrants. How much money is Mayor Mike Johnston spending on the legal American citizens in the city of Denver? But according to the Denver Police and Fire Departments, some of this new spending that Johnston wants to include is coming from their budgets. For instance, the Denver Police Department, they're going to be losing $8.4 million from their operating budget. The fire department is going to be losing $2.5 million. I'm sorry. They're going to be losing money, but they've already got a $2.5 million deficit in their budget. Now, Johnson is also set to cut the pay. this is what sanctuary cities get you, folks. He's going to be cutting the pay of the 911 operators by making changes in how they pay public service operators. Good Lord. Johnson has been massaging the English language of how people perceive illegals by calling them newcomers instead of law-breaking illegals. After more than a year of facing this crisis together, Denver finally has a sustainable plan for treating our newcomers with dignity while avoiding the worst cuts to city services, Johnston said. So many times we were told that we couldn't be compassionate while still being fiscally responsible. Well, today is proof that our hardest challenges are still solvable and that together we are the ones who will solve them. Now, the press release from the mayor's office said individuals arriving in Denver after April 10th will be provided a short-term stay at a congregate site, along with assistance securing onward travel to another destination. Newcomers who choose to remain in Denver may utilize available local and community support. Now, Johnston, as reported last week, has also proposed cuts in a variety of other city services. That totals about $45.9 million in cuts. The plan, of course, has to be approved by the city council. They're going to be debating it tomorrow, April 16th. So if you live in Denver, then you might want to say something. You might want to show up to this city council meeting. I mean, this is as discussions that's been going on for months. Johnston has been saying, hey, we're paying for this stuff. We're going to have to take it from somewhere else. I guess I do give him a little bit of credit for not just taking money that doesn't exist. But of course, places like Denver and other Democrat-run cities around the country have been getting more dollars from the federal government. Now, whose money is that? Well, that's every other state and local area that Joe Biden wants to pull that money from. Probably taking it from places that do not have sanctuary city laws. They've already had to cut their budget by about 10%. And of course, there is a recession going on right now. Billions of dollars have been taken out to pay for these illegals. And I sure hope the people of Denver understand that they have gotten what they paid for. You paid for a grifter. You got grifted. There's just no other way about it. Thank you very, very much to Left MD. Thank you very much. Thank you to PQuest twice. Thank you, PQuest. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Boys Blanc, 89, thank you for the cookie. LKW Cross, thank you for the fleet. Appreciate you. Ginger 45, thank you for the can. And Tomcat 01NJ, thank you for the cookie, brother. I appreciate you guys. All right, so let's talk about Iran. Let's talk about World War III. I don't personally believe that we're going to be going to war. I think that there has to be, well, they're trying to create this sort of this fear of World War III. Certainly, we're going to be sending more money and more troops to the Middle East. There's no way around that. But over the weekend, Iran launched a series of kamikaze drone attacks and missiles into Israel. Obviously, with the nations already sparring, with the unrest in Israel and the Gaza Strip, a lot of people have been waiting for something to pop off. Glenn MS says, frack, Elon folded, says X will comply with the Brazilian court. Ugh, that's awful. They probably were about to shut Brazil. They were probably going to shut X down in Brazil. They didn't do it. He can still comply and expose what they're actually doing there. Now, of course, Israel has the Iron Dome. They have freaking five layers of Iron Domes over there. But Joe Biden was forced to cut his vacation short. He did not speak to anybody. In fact, he called the lid. Probably really wasn't in any space, headspace to talk to anybody. President Trump did, however, have some stuff to say. All right. So I guess that Biden released a taped speech rather than going live. I think probably they were afraid he wasn't going to read the teleprompters correctly. So who knows how many cuts they did. But President Trump, well, he first said Biden on Israel didn't do his address to the people live. He taped it. This is no time for taped speeches. And then he said, after reading my truth, Biden's handlers convinced him not to release his taped speech on Israel. He'll now attempt to do it live, probably tomorrow. He doesn't want to leave his house with Corvette in Delaware. Oh, man, too funny. This is where we get to Green Beret from the Green Beret veteran, current Florida Representative Michael Waltz. In the wake of this attack, I mean, obviously, Joe Biden gave, what, $80 billion to Iran? That can't be right. He gave like $13 billion or something. Honestly, guys, I don't remember. I just know that a lot of money has flowed into that country since Joe Biden came in. The Iran deal. Yeah, it was like $13 billion. Anyways, So I would say that it's arguable. Well, I mean, it's not arguable. It's the truth that the situation in the Middle East, how destabilized everything has gotten, it's because of the policies of the Biden regime. It's not necessarily that they want Iran to destroy Israel. It's not necessarily that they want Israel to destroy Iran. They're just looking to create a state of perpetual unrest, state of perpetual unrest, state of perpetual war, basically. Obviously, it hasn't quite worked out in Israel in the way that they were hoping. It hasn't quite worked out in Russia in the way that they're hoping. But if they can keep a couple of low-grade military conflicts going at any time, well, you know, they're going to feel real good about that. But Waltz said this over the weekend. There's no other way to describe the Obama-Biden Middle East policy except as a dangerous disaster. I mean, this is utter calamity. Just a few years ago under President Trump, ISIS was destroyed, Iran was broke and on their back foot, and we had the Abraham Accords, and now look where we're at. I think that this is pretty much what everybody thinks when they think about the Trump administration and the way that Iran was held at bay and the peace that we had in the Middle East. Now, go back to Joe Biden running for president in 2020. Now, at that time, he had predicted that Donald Trump was going to get us started in war in Iran as a means to basically muck things up for the incoming administration. My God, take a listen to Joe Biden at that time.
The world has changed because what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is there's a lot at stake in this election.
So obviously another case of pure projection. Every time the Democrats say something about Donald Trump, they are covertly talking about themselves. It's Joe Biden and his puppet regime that have basically pushed us into war in the Middle East. Now, John Kirby, the mouthpiece for the State Department, is also out there. He's the one out there talking because Joe Biden can't get out there and talk to anybody. He was too exhausted from spending the day on the sun at Rehoboth Beach. But he went out and did the rounds on Sunday. He spoke with Fox News and he defended Joe Biden's record on Iran, despite the fact that it was under Joe Biden that Iran felt they had the OK to go ahead and go after Israel. Shannon Bream asked John Kirby, why not support something that would have stopped the program or at least contained it in some way so it's not launching at Israel and we aren't having to get involved defensively? And Kirby said, just look at the sanctions we put in place against Iran. Look at the $13 billion we gave them. Look at the resources we put into that region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. Is it, John? Is it really that difficult? Because I think a lot of people feel that way. And then he blamed the Trump administration and their hostility towards Iran, which I think most people would say is what kept Iran in check.
You know, the conversations about unfreezing assets, about waivers on sanctions.
Yeah.
Could this administration have been tougher on Iran? Did it sense an opening?
It's hard to look at what President Biden has done with respect to Iran and say that he hasn't been tough on Iran, or that we haven't put pressure on them, that we haven't additional 500 sanctions, additional resources in the region. And let's take a look at that ballistic missile. Okay, so they launched more than 100 ballistic missiles. And how many got through? And the reason it didn't get through is because President Biden made sure that we pre-positioned forces in the region to help Israel shoot them down.
Okay, so what he just said there is fairly important. Pre-positioned troops in the region. I mean, we're already there. We've been waiting. Now, nothing got through, of course, because, again, it's not really about starting a real war. It's about starting a low-grade military conflict, which is going to allow for the continued expenditure on the military-industrial complex.
So this vaunted ballistic missile program of theirs didn't turn out to be so vaunted last night.
But why not support something that would have stopped that program, or at least contained it in some way, so it's not launching at Israel and we aren't having to get it involved defensively?
Again, Shannon, just look at the sanctions that we put in place against Iran. Look at the resources we put in this into the region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal, and now Iran...
Okay, and that is the thing that I wanted you to hear. It's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault that the world is now in the position that it's in. You cannot be more disconnected from reality. You cannot be more disconnected from reality. Now, as he continued to do his media circus, John Kirby continued to lie. He continued to place blame on Donald Trump. He continued to pretend that, you know, hey, we basically stopped anything bad from happening. Here's the thing. It was actually the Biden administration that provided missile guidance to Iran in Saturday's drone and missile strike on Israel. Now, this is interesting because what it reminds me of is when Donald Trump was in office and Iran gave him a call and said, hey, listen, we're going to have to respond, but don't worry, nobody's going to get killed. Okay? And Donald Trump said, okay, fine. I understand. You go ahead and do what you need to do. So they did it, and then they were at a stalemate. I think this is a different type of scenario right here, though, because everybody is looking at everybody and saying, hey, now we're going to have to take action. Now we're going to have to go after them. The real question is going to be, what is Israel's response going to be to Iran? Are they going to allow it to simply be a tit for tat and then say, okay, fine, you got us. Nobody died. Everything's cool. We're just going to leave it at that. I tend to think not. I think that in the waning days of the Biden regime, they're going to escalate the low-grade military conflict. And it may be that nobody dies, but just that a lot of missiles get sent off, and it just ensures that we're going to have a continued purchasing of military power and might, which is basically the only thing holding up the economy at this point. And, of course, it keeps everybody in this sort of specter of World War III. Again, I don't believe we're going to go to World War III. I don't think this is going to turn into anything other than a back and forth. Undoubtedly, people are going to die, and that's horrible. But more than anything, this makes a firmer argument, which I've been making all show, of why we need Donald Trump to come back to the White House so that he can force these buffoons to come to the peace talks and to engage in some sort of meaningful dialogue so that nobody has to die, so that nobody has to end up on the wrong end of a missile. That's how you win. You don't win by going and lying on the news, blaming other people for your mistakes, in the face of overwhelming evidence. Lee Walden says, time for the reckoning. And that reckoning is coming, my friend. That record is coming. Finally, guys, we're now going to get into the main topic of today's program, and that is the demonic deep state lawfare attacks on Donald J. Trump. Now, Donald Trump showed up in New York today. I believe this is at the New York Supreme Court for his so-called hush money trial to begin. Jury selection began today. Of course, President Trump took the opportunity to speak before this crowd about what exactly was happening. Let's go ahead and take a listen to our beloved POTUS. I think we're going to have an ad that we have to get through. One more ad. 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Very honored to be here. That's right. President Trump is more than happy to take the slings and arrows of the deep state.
America's power grid is inches from collapse, old and under stress.
Hold on. Got to get rid of that. Because it proves our point. It proves the deep state plan to politically persecute the man who's going to replace Joe Biden, as he should have long ago. They will be unable to stop Donald Trump from coming back into power. There simply is no other way to do it. The American people need to be convinced that, yes, this plot truly does exist. The American people align themselves with Donald Trump because in the same way that the deep state has been going after Donald Trump, they've been going after the American people this entire time. Now, I have Kickstarter's channel pulled up here, and look at this. That same weirdo with talcum powder on her face and a pink wig was standing out there in New York, as she does every single time something's going on there. But Kickstarter actually was doing an interview, I guess, with RSBN, and he sent us over a clip of it. So we're going to go ahead and watch that clip. I just got to locate it on my computer. I think it's in my downloads folder. I passed out Kickstarter's channel earlier today, or earlier in the show. Cleanup by date created. Oh, hold on. I accidentally messed up the name. Yes, add. Okay. Now, let me add this to the screen here. No. New. And we'll see if we can figure out which one is Kick Dreaming.
Hi, man. I appreciate it. All right. So I am going to try to get a good feel of what exactly. How you doing? Doing all right? Good to see you.
I got to turn the sound on. Okay, here we go.
Hi, man. I appreciate it. All right, so I am going to try to get a good feel of what exactly. How you doing? Doing all right? Good to see you, man. What does it mean to you to be here today?
I just come out here to see the support. I like the world to see that New York supports Trump too, because this is like probably the heaviest blue state besides Cali.
It's funny you just took the thoughts out of my head. I just said let's talk to people who live here and get their thoughts on the president. Does he have more support amongst the African-American community, the Latino community, and the minorities?
Yeah, a lot more than people know, especially in New York. Like, I know last time it was an event here, it was a lot of, the other side was on that side, but I see more support now. I think people are being more open to being supportive of Trump, like publicly now.
Remember the first, when we were here the last time, the first indictment, it was absolutely chaos here. So far, seems pretty reserved, but I would imagine as the day goes along, we're going to see a few more people out here.
He just got here, right? If I'm not too mistaken. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot crazy. I think even the crazies are going to come more, too.
So far, there's very little crazies out there.
Yeah, thank God. They don't come out too early. Come out when it's dark. But
all right, so thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Stay safe out here.
All right, that's our boy Kick Dreaming right there. Good stuff, man. Way to go getting on RSBN. That is so cool. Yeah, New York. New York, it's a hell of a town. It's Donald Trump's home turf. And the mainstream media, they might have been successful in getting people to go after Trump in his first administration, but people wised up. And they said, you know what? I don't believe what the mainstream media is telling me. So when President Trump shows up, he's always got something to say. He also had some stuff to say last night before coming into court earlier today. He said, Judge Juan Marchand, perhaps the most highly conflicted judge in New York state history, only gave us a short period of time and study hundreds of thousands of pages of documents that D.A. Alvin Bragg illegally hid, disguised, and held back from us. Of course, as the judge knows, we need far more time than that. They could have started this fake Biden trial many years ago, not right in the middle of my campaign for president, and time would not be a problem. This is a blatant and unprecedented attack on crooked Joe Biden's political opponent, who is leading in every poll, done in close coordination with the White House, that cannot be allowed to go forward. Now, remember, President Trump had filed a motion requesting Judge Marchand to be recused from this case because of his daughter's political work. The daughter, Judge or Lauren Marchand, she's a far left political operative who actually worked for the Biden-Harris campaign. She's a 34-year-old daddy's girl who, of course, had to be protected from Donald Trump's mean posts online. How effective, how deeply involved is Lauren Marchand? Well, she helped the Democrats raise $93 million off of her father's case. Back in 2019, she made public statements during a podcast regarding a conversation with her father that reflects a clear and present bias against President Trump, not only from her, but also from her daddy, Judge Marchand. Consistent with that conversation, President Biden and Vice President Harris are actually long-term clients of Authentic, the company she works for, and, of course, Miss Lauren Marchand. Now, a number of other Democrat and left-wing politicians and entities are actively campaigning and advocating against President Trump right now, using this case as a money-raising vehicle. Authentic, the company she works for, and their clients disbursed more than $18 million to the company between the return of the indictment and the present. Nearly $20 million from the moment Donald Trump was indicted. It is industry practice that Authentic would receive percentages based on funds raised and recipient engagement. And Miss Lauren Marchand, who has an ownership stake and leadership role in the company, while this case is pending, is the one who is making all of that money. It's all about the Benjamins. Now, big surprise, Judge Juan Marchand has rejected President Trump's demand to recuse, and jury selection began earlier today. Now, on top of that, D.A. Alvin Bragg is asking for the court to impose $1,000 sanctions for every single one of President Trump's posts on Truth Social for violating the, quote, gag order. He's also threatening to throw him in jail. Lee Walden says, riddle me this, riddle me that. The DOJ is full of crap. All right. Freya wants to know a number for anyone who's donated to Trump. Give me a one in the chat if you've donated to Trump. One. My one is on screen. One. Thank you very much also to Tennessee Jed 78. Appreciate dropping that phone over there on Pilled. So prosecutors now with the leading of Alvin Bragg, the corrupt Manhattan district attorney, seeking to hold President Trump in contempt for violating Judge Marchand's gag order in the Stormy Daniels fake news hush money trial. Jury selection began today, and Alvin Bragg, of course, is trying to put Donald Trump away with 34 felony counts for falsifying business records and conspiracy. Judge Juan Marchand has, up until this point, trampled all over Donald Trump's First Amendment rights with his very restrictive gag order, and he expanded it so that Donald Trump couldn't talk about any family members or other people working in the court. course, Lauren Marchand raising tens of millions of dollars for the Biden-Harris campaign and other Democrat far-left politicians. Donald Trump now looking to be forced to pay $1,000 for tweets like this, for posts like this. Now we have Marchand, who is not allowing me to talk, thereby violating the law of the Constitution all at once. It is so bad what he's trying to get away with. How was he even chosen for this case? I heard he fought like hell to get it, and all of the rest of them also. If this partisan hack wants to put me in the clink for speaking the open and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela. This is great. This has got to make them so angry because it's like he's daring them. Like, put me in jail. Put me in jail. Watch the people crowd around me. Watch the people love me even more than they do. Put me in jail. I don't think they have the balls to do it, to be quite honest with you. I think they understand that if they actually throw President Trump in jail, they risk losing virtually every single registered voter out there. He says, it will be my great honor. We have to save our country from these political operatives masquerading as prosecutors and judges. And I'm willing to sacrifice my freedom for that worthy cause. We are a failing nation, but on November 5th, we will become a great nation again. Make America great again. So a $1,000 sanction for each of three prior posts. It's not much. $3,000. He's ordering President Trump to take them down, and he wants any further violations to result in jail time. Now, Judge Marchand said that he will sign the order to show case that sets forth a briefing schedule. And, of course, the DA's office is seeking to use serial perjurer Michael Cohen as one of their main witnesses against him. Apparently, RFK Jr. is saying he rejected DJT's v. Wow, he actually made an offer? No way. Let me find that.
RFK Jr. Donald Trump VP.
Wow. He is saying it. I guess I wasn't that far off when I predicted that as a possibility. I'm glad that he turned it down, though. RFK Jr., the prominent conspiracy theorist and independent presidential candidate, claimed on Monday he had turned down an offer from Donald Trump to be his running mate for the White House. The assertion followed the launch earlier in the day of a website attacking Kennedy, published by a pro-Trump political action committee called Make America Great Again Incorporated, accusing Kennedy of being a radical leftist. Here's the thing. Just because RFK Jr. said it doesn't mean it actually happened. Let's see. Kennedy, blah, blah, blah. President Trump called me an ultra-left radical. Well, he is. I'm so liberal that his emissaries asked me to be his VP. I respectfully declined the offer. Emissary. So Donald Trump didn't ask him to be VP, even by Robert F. Kennedy's own words. If they throw Trump in jail, they will see how big the MAGA movement really is, because we will take to the streets and peaceful protests. Optics. Exactly. Yeah, so even from Robert Kennedy's own words, he's saying somebody else asked him on behalf of Donald Trump. I would hazard a guess and say it's more likely that perhaps somebody in Trump's orbit suggested to RFK Jr. that maybe he might want to be Donald Trump's vice president. But I'm certain that Donald Trump is going to say, I never offered RFK Jr. the VP spot. And I have to be really honest with you. Although it was, you know, fun to theorize about it at the beginning, once it became patently obvious where RFK Jr. stood on pretty much all of these issues, I mean, there's no way that I would feel comfortable with him being the vice president, being one step away from the presidency. I'm pretty certain, and this is just from my discussions with people who know Donald Trump, that whoever his vice president is going to be, he's going to be someone who is 100% America first. This is not going to be some milquetoast, like, you know, half-ass conservative. This is not going to be some dyed-in-the-wool liberal. This is not going to be somebody that any of us have to worry about when Donald Trump chooses them. This is going to be somebody that we're all happy with. Although, you know, I say that half-heartedly because I know that not everybody is going to be satisfied no matter what happens. I'm going to be satisfied. I'm fairly certain about that. And again, this is based upon my conversations with people who have had conversations with President Trump. I'm okay with it. So I'm not worried about it at all. Now, this is the real sick part of this, you guys. Apparently, Donald Trump might have to miss Barron's high school graduation because he might be in freaking court. This fake news hush money trial that shouldn't even be going on anyways. Judge Marchand may or may not, but he could have told him already, you know what, you can go to your son's graduation. Instead, he has refused to rule out that he will not be able to attend the public day of that event. And that's really, really sick. You know, Donald Trump being forced to miss his son's high school graduation, that's an important day. You know, that's an important day for Barron. For Barron to look out at the audience and know that his dad's not there because of Judge Juan Marchand. You know, something tells me that Barron is a very intelligent kid. And I believe that Donald Trump has talked to him about what's happening and why it's happening. So Barron might look out at the audience, see his father not there, and understand that his dad is sacrificing something that is so vitally important, trying to save this country. And that if he would be there, if he could be there, he would. But I don't want Donald Trump to have to miss Barron's graduation. I like Nunes Kitsko, but I think that he is going to continue running Truth Social. But I would be happy with Devin Nunes. I mean, honestly. I think that it's probably going to have to be somebody who's not in government currently. It's going to have to be somebody who is not going to take away from the dynamic that we already have in Congress. It's also going to have to be somebody who's not controlled. And there's a lot of people who are very, very controlled. So, I don't know. I think that these talks have been ongoing for quite some time. Yeah, and I'm not expecting it anytime soon. You know, Jake Gigolo. He says Donald Trump didn't announce Pence as his VP until July 15th, 2020. Yeah, like I've always said, you're voting for Trump. You're not voting for Trump and somebody else. I mean, it's not like the old days where, like, you know, the presidential ticket, like, that was the ticket. You know, you're voting for both of them. But none of us are voting for anybody but Donald Trump here. No one better than Nunes. Look at Truth, and he was the one who stuck his neck out in 2017. I'm not arguing with you on that either. But all I'm saying is that Devin Nunes has a fairly important job at Truth Social. And he's also been asked specifically about it, and he said that he wants to stay at Truth Social. Now, you know, he could change his mind, obviously. And it could also be a ruse just so that they don't try to destroy Devin Nunes ahead of time. And that rumor that was going around about a retired New York politician, which in my opinion at that time was Lee Zeldin, you know, I mean, things could have changed drastically since then. But here's the other thing. I think that any announcement of who the VP would be is going to take away from the stories about Donald Trump. Right now, the story is Trump and the deep state demonic attacks against him. That's the story. Donald Trump knows that. We got to keep visibility on this all-important story. As soon as Trump announces a vice presidential running mate, the story shifts, and it gives the mainstream media somebody else to attack and somebody else to make arguments against. So I think that Donald Trump is going to wait till the absolute last possible second to announce a running mate. But I wish Donald Trump the best. He's going to get the best because no matter what happens in this case, in all of these cases, I think that God has a special plan for Donald Trump, and the American people are going to come through in the end. And there are efforts taking place behind the scenes to ensure that the election goes the way that it needs to. All right. Now, this is interesting. The mainstream media is rallying, not behind Biden, but to draft Biden, essentially, to make sure he has a debate against President Trump. Now, Joe Biden's been suspiciously absent on this front. He's basically made it clear that he has no plans to debate. He didn't want to debate in the primaries. Why in the hell would he want to debate against Donald Trump? But as I've said for like the last 4 years, I hope it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump because I want to see another debate between Joe Biden. Joe Biden did not hold his own in 2020. It's only gotten worse for Joe Biden since that time. I would think that he would be so pumped up full of drugs, he would be raving lunatic on the stage and a stuttering mess, unable to put together cohesive thoughts, a narrative that makes any sense at all. It would be a bad look for Joe Biden, and Donald Trump would look very, very good. Very, very good. So we've had a dozen of the mainstream media platforms out there, mainstream like ABC News, Associated Press, CBS News, CNN, C-SPAN, Fox, NBC, News Nation, Univision, NPR, PBS, and USA Today, essentially drafting a letter calling on Biden and Trump to publicly commit to participating in a general election debate before the November election. Now, Donald Trump has already said, I got no problems. I'll debate Joe Biden all day. The other thing is that these stations also know that when the debates will air on their respective channels, it's a big influx of cash because they know that America is going to be tuning in. Now, I'm not going to be giving my money to any of these dirt bags. If there's a debate, we'll watch it on my channel. I will not support any of these various news organizations, and I use that term loosely. But for decades, the debates have played an important role. I mean, we saw Joe Biden lie his ass off in the last one. Trump said that he would debate Biden anytime, any place. Now, Biden has not committed. In February, he said, if I were him, I'd want to debate me too. He's got nothing else to do. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
You sure about that? You sure about that? You sure about that?
Biden is definitely going to have Kamala as VP again. Listen, she's a person of color. She's a woman. She's already been the VP for the last several years. He can't afford to drop her. Imagine the fallout from the radical left. They're not going to vote for him anyways. But if he drops Kamala Harris, I mean, who else would he choose? I don't think there's anybody who would be willing to commit political suicide to stand alongside Joe Biden. So it's Kamala. I mean, they've already got Biden-Harris signs and campaign materials. There's just no way. All right, you guys, we're going to have to call it there because I've got to get ready for Baseless Conspiracies tonight at 10:30 on Badlands Media. Thank you very much, every single one of you, for being here. I've got a couple of more thank yous to give over to my friends at Pilled.net. Let's see. K-Wall for Life. Thank you very much for the can. Who Cares says, okay, the reconsideration of the FISA bill failed. We are over the mark, 224 to 107. So are you saying that they failed to pass the revised version of FISA? Cat RN, thank you very much for that donation over there on Ko-Fi. Okay, so hang on. I'm just looking for some reporting on it. Okay, so House votes on motion to reconsider FISA authorization, allowing warrantless spying on Americans. Okay, so this is the vote to reauthorize that new version that they passed with the cutout for Congress the other day. Hang on. Let's go to Anna Paulina Luna's Twitter, because if anybody's going to talk about it, she will. Biden's weaponized FBI, kill FISA. We need 218 members to stand together against unconstitutional surveillance. And it looks like we hit it. Okay. So revised version of FISA is not going through. That's actually really good news. Now, if they don't get a version through by the 19th, then they're going on recess and FISA is not going to be in place. The only danger that I can see here, and we talked about this previously, is that if that happens and the Biden regime prepares some sort of terrorist attack and then tells us that the reason we couldn't find them is because we didn't have FISA anymore, well, then, of course, they're going to come back with something much more draconian. It'll be like Patriot Act 3.0. But thank you, who cares? The motion was to reconsider it goes to Senate. Wait. So the Senate is now going to try and push it through. Nakazeta, wait, just got back from vacation. Great show as always. Hey, buddy, I hope you had a good time. Where do you go for vacation, bro? You just go down the street or do you go someplace else? Send me a message. I'd love to know. Anyways, so let's see. Hold on. Let's go ahead and listen to this from Anna Paulina Luna.
I mean, it literally has been responsible and breached, I think, over a quarter of a million times, in addition to the fact that they actually had made carve-outs in this legislation for members of Congress, but not the general population, meaning that if you're a member of Congress, you'll be notified by the FBI nicely that you're being under surveillance, but if you're a normal person, that you're not. So that's completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Let me also say, there was a lot of people who reached out to me before Anna Paulina Luna got elected and were really worried about her. I feel like she's been a champion for freedom in America. I mean, I've been perfectly happy with her. And I don't know. Actually, I'd love to hear from somebody who's actually being represented by her. Let's go ahead and listen to this.
Oop. 73, the nays are 147. On this vote, the yeas are 273.
Oh, no.
The nays are 147. The bill is passed.
No, they authorized it. I got it wrong, you guys. This is bad.
Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. For what purpose does the gentlelady from Florida seek recognition? Clerk will report the motion.
Ms. Lee of Florida moves to reconsider the vote on passage of H.R. 7888. Motion to reconsider.
Question is on the motion to the table.
Yeah, fake news. I apologize. I read that completely wrong.
Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The motion is adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose is the gentlelady from Florida seek recognition?
I ask for a recorded vote, Mr. Speaker.
A recorded vote is requested. Those favoring a recorded vote will rise. A sufficient number having risen, the recorded vote is ordered. Pursuant to Clause 8 of Rule 20, further proceedings on this question are postponed.
Yeah, she says, we will not stand idly by as we lose our... No, wait a second. This is from April 12th. You guys, I'm sorry. I'm very confused here. No, I'm saying they passed the FISA bill. Okay, who cares? Thank you. Who cares? I'm sorry. The motion was to reconsider it, and it goes to Senate. Okay, all right. So, yes. I was right after I was wrong. Who cares? No, Zach, they passed the FISA last week. This move was to kill the bill. Oh, my God. Yes, last week they passed it. I thought that they were now authorized. They were voting to authorize it. So this killed the bill. Jeez, oh, Pete's, man. Okay. I apologize, you guys. So they actually killed the bill today? Somebody want to confirm that for me? Yes. Okay. Yes. Everybody's saying that they killed it. They killed it today. That's good. That is good. Okay. So they needed 218 to kill it. They got 224. They had more than enough votes to kill it. Everything is okay for the time being. Before April 19th, they have to come up with something else. Otherwise, FISA will not be in place. And what I said before still stands. They may try to do something to create some massive terror scare and then tell the American people that it was because they didn't have FISA. All right. So anyways, this is what happens when you're trying to talk about something before you even know what the circumstances are. Anyways, I just want to get to the truth, guys. And when I'm reading something, when it's brand new, as I'm live, this is what happens. You're trying to read a whole bunch of different things all at the same time. But thank you very much for helping me to muddle my way through that. Who cares? I appreciate it, buddy. Okay. So, yes, yes. So just keep your head on a swivel, guys. Obviously, I don't want to jinx us. I don't want to put anything bad out there, but there is always the possibility that they would try to do that because obviously they want FISA to remain in place. It's yes. And that's the only thing that makes sense to me why the Democrats are voting against it. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Okay, well, listen, I got to go. I've got to go to the bathroom. I've got to get ready for my show here tonight. Let me go ahead and pass out these gold pills. And then tonight I'll be back at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Badlands Media. Thank you so much, you guys. Hey, do me a favor. Thank you so much for the 7,500 gold pills over on Pilled. If you're over there on Rumble and you haven't hit the like button yet, we are currently sitting at 816 likes. We've got 3,700 people here. If you could hit that like button, if we can just go over 1,000 likes before the end of the show, that would be really, really cool. I would appreciate that. Yes. Yeah, Chrono's right. Law of the internet. Quickest way to get a correct answer is to post the wrong one. That's true. Absolutely. All right, you guys. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you. Good luck. God bless. We will see you tonight on Baseless Conspiracies, or if not, then I'll be back here tomorrow at 5 p.m. Peace.